Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Well, today, if we talk about experts, if we got an expert with us today, if you go look up the dictionary and you look up expert, you're going to see David Friedman's picture under expert there. A couple of expertises, maybe not just one here. David Friedman, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Paul. Thank you.
Let's see if we can define some of those expertises here. Your current gig is probably the one that gets you the most attention in town here. You're the chairman of the Tech Coast Angels here.
Yep, that is correct. TCA has been part of my life. It's my passion to help the entrepreneurs and be part of the startup ecosystem within Southern Cal. And I've been doing it for about 14 years now.
For those five people listening who don't know what the Tech Coast Angels are, this is the secret club everybody wants to get into. This is the group of investors that act as angels and help launch all sorts of businesses around, right?
Yeah, Tech Coast Angels has been around since 1996-97. We currently have 400 members. They're all accredited investors.
Wow.
And we're in five different groups or chapters: the TCA LA, TCA Orange County, TCA Inland Empire. And about a year and a half ago, we added two licensees. One is Pasadena Angels, which focuses on technology, and Meta, M-E-D-A, in case my New York accent doesn't come across real well. Meta Angels focuses on later seed, early A health tech companies. They're a bunch of medical doctors, practitioners, scientists.
The stuff that's in this building, we're at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. You've been here longer than I have. When it was in the earlier center, now it's in this bigger one, where they try and take technology and turn it into something. It's mostly med tech and medicines in this building.
So that's a great segue into what we invest in. We, pretty non-discriminate, we invest in a variety of different early stage deals. Some pre-seed, mostly seed, bridge to A, early A. And 40% of our investments over the last several years have been in life sciences. Then we do our technology, ad tech, ed tech, martech, fintech, x tech, whatever you
all
want to call it.
All these magic techs, yeah. Whether
all
it's
the magic
financial,
tech.
Marketing, whatnot here. Well, medtech seems to be the big one in this building and in Orange County. We seem to be known for developing that kind of stuff. Any stories you can share of anything, not current, but stuff that you guys have worked on or helped take the market here or take the next stage here?
Well, it won't be medtech. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning about Lori Torres. Lori was an executive at the Irvine Company, had this great idea called automated lockers. They compete with the Amazon locker program, as you know. Lori was looking for funding. I think TCA provided all the funding for her initial round, did not need another round of financing. And all those people from TCA that invested had a 22x return in about 4 years.
22 times your investment here. It's funny you say that, because we had her in here a few years ago on Carrie Ransom's show, when Carrie used to do a show with us. And I was amazed at her story. And she sets these lockers up, I think, in like apartment buildings.
Yeah, apartment buildings, large office complex, multi-tenant spaces.
Can't be home. Don't drop in the hallway here, you know. And what a great idea. And it took off and launched. And she's a powerhouse. Absolutely. I see why everybody backed her here. So you guys have had some big success stories here. Why is it so secretive to find you guys? Everybody's got to go through somebody. I got to have somebody that knows David Friedman. You can't just call David Friedman up and say, hey, I want to come
actually,
make a pitch.
Actually, Paul, they can. I mean, one of the things that we want to make sure that all of us, the 400 members in TCA, are the brand ambassadors for TCA. We are always out in the ecosystem. We spend time at the UCI events here at Buell Applied Innovation.
Yeah, right.
Last week, we're at the OC Startup event down at Hangar 74 or 55. I forgot what the hangar number is.
Yeah,
it has
a
nice P-51 out front.
Yeah.
We've been involved.
Guys our age know what a P-51 is, but go ahead.
Well, if you watch Nick at Night, you can watch Black Sheep Squadron, I guess.
Oh, no.
You know, if you look at it that way.
Going way back. Robert Conrad.
Exactly. And we have been a sponsor at Pepperdine Most Fundable Companies. We're involved with the Long Beach Accelerator. We are around. Clearly, we want to be known for the ability to fund startups. And
yeah.
It's easy. We're not like a VC. If you talk to us, we'll help you out. Our goal is to be helpful, not hindering you from getting funding.
And so, too many of the VCs, they're going to take it over, is the impression. I'm going to bring in my own team, my own this. I'm going to take it my own direction. People are hesitant to get to that level. They certainly have great success stories. But the difference between an angel, you guys are like an angel. You float in and say, well, all right, let's get this thing rolling.
Well, it's also our money. I mean, VCs have general partners and limited partners who are kind of passive.
Right.
All the work that we do in Tech Coast Angels is basically active. This is all of our funds. We either have funds, and we have four funds that you can participate in.
Right.
We also do individual investments in companies alongside the funds, call them sidecars.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easy to get to us, techcoastangels.com. If you're an entrepreneur, apply under the tab that says Entrepreneur Apply Here.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply to one or more of our networks or chapters within TCA. And you get a chance to be heard. And we'll give you advice, by the way, so we won't just let it go into deep space.
That's the key, because let's start with the most basic advice. Just one takeaway in this short show here today. I thought, like so many thought, it's all about the pitch. It's all about, I got to have this great opportunity that I saw. It's got to have a 10X, 20X, got to have great potential upscale to it here. Big market, big opportunity, and then I got to pitch it perfectly. And that might get your attention. But what I've learned through the last few years, it's just as important who you're investing in as what you're investing. Is that correct?
Well, it's a combination of both. I give a talk, and I did this last week at Chapman as well, and I've done it for Westcliff University in their most distinguished speaker series. Not that I'm distinguished, but that's what they call it.
So I'm in the extinguished service here.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat that you are. We come from that same camp. When I look at the pitching is really important, but even in doing the pitch, there are three components which people don't understand.
Okay.
Number one,
teach us.
It's the context, the elevator pitch, because we have heard so many pitches and we do not understand what you're really talking about, especially with a technical founder.
Right.
Number two, once you get that, you now have to build a relationship with the investing community. So you should know it. If you're pitching to Paul Roberts with your background, it would be different than if you pitch to Joe Shlobotnik, who has a neuroscience background.
I know Joe very well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, but it makes a big difference. So building that relationship, and there are little tricks of the trade to make sure that the people who you're pitching to who don't understand the product or the service as well as you do understand it. And the final one is telling the story, and I use a concept called message map to make sure that that story can be told within a short period of time. Because the only thing that you want to do as an entrepreneur is get the angel or other investor to say, tell me more.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Very simple.
And is the story just about the product, or is the story about the people? Is it the people behind this, your passion? Is it the people you're going to serve? Is it the people that you're going to help or something? I mean, too many times it just seems to be a numbers story. And I don't know why we can't, and yet you're banking on the jockey as much as the horse here. You got to know this guy can pull off the trick. He can really execute and he can adapt and change. And what's his background or her background? How passionate are they going to quit the first obstacle they hit? All that kind of stuff. Does that play into it? Is the people part of it?
Well, I think you just did my whole pitch. But frankly,
I've heard this a few times.
Sorry. Yeah. So when we look at the business, we look at two components. We look at the business side. Is it a business that's scalable? Number two, is it investable?
Yeah. Right.
So the business side, does it make sense? Does it grow? Who's your team? And not only the CEO, but the operational team, as well as the advisory team. And then the second component that you mentioned, how good an investment is this deal?
Yeah.
Because
are you
we're looking for
Well,
you're investable as a team.
Yeah.
Because that's the number one criteria. The second criteria is product market, you know, fit.
Right.
The third one is making sure you have enough money to survive, which right. always is a big issue. And then, you know, once you do you present, do I see the potential for a 10x, 11x, 15x return? And each group, each investment group has a different criteria. Tech Coast Angels likes to see a 10 plus X probability.
Right.
Others say, I'm going to take less risk, so they'll take less of a return. The VCs, for example, not necessarily looking at 10X, but they're looking for something of a track record in the later rounds in the growth mode.
Right.
It's a little different.
And 10X meaning 10 times whatever you, if I put in 100 grand, I'm going to get back $1 million potentially.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. As we say, from your lips to God's ears, we should do it all the time.
It's easy, isn't it? And that's why, and that's why you got to get high returns, because high failure rate of all this stuff. There are a million things short circuit these things.
Yeah, we have about 6 out of every 10 companies will go belly up, I think, within 2 years.
Wow.
But the good news is from, let's go back to TCA for a second. TCA had invested in over 550 companies during its lifetime, several billion dollars of additional capital invested, which is great. About 270 companies still exist in one form or another that are within our portfolio. So we have a very good track record of that. And if you had invested in every single company in our lifetime, even including the failures and the big successes like Laurie Torres's company, you would have about a 24% annual rate of return, which is a 3X return every 2X return every 3 years.
Which is how you get 400 people to join the organization and put up their own hard cash.
Exactly.
Where did your background come from? How did you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be an angel investor here. You got a pretty strong background yourself. Give us just a quick summary of where you came from. I know I think you're from New York. I may be wrong on that.
You can probably tell by my accent and attitude, but yeah, that's pretty simple. But I actually grew up very poor, and my goal early on, because I'm a techie by training, I have a few double E degrees and a degree in microeconomics as well.
Microeconomics, okay.
Yeah, I have my MBA in econometrics is what they call it.
Right.
So I'm pretty quant, and I came up from the engineering side and migrated into product development, and that's where I made most of my successes in getting products to market.
Give us some companies. Weren't you at Boeing or something here?
Yeah, so that was
a little company called Boeing.
Little company called Boeing, and I was responsible for commercializing the first Wi-Fi services on board airplanes commercially.
Really?
And I
cool.
made the first call on a Lufthansa flight in the middle of the morning over the Atlantic. And I still remember that. I still have the picture when I was doing that. And that was extremely exciting. But that was one of many things that I was involved in. I've gotten involved in telematics. I was involved as the head marketing person for U.S. Cellular. Got
really?
Involved in middleware. I was one of the designers of the Federal Telecommunications System when I was a kid. I was involved in a lot of technology. And technology has always been my root, my passion. And when I think about it, again, when I see where I came from, being from a fairly poor family, going to engineering school, and then as I progressed in engineering, I always wanted to be a VC. I didn't have enough money, so I became an angel.
So you really saw that early on as a path? I'm not just going to work for Boeing. I'm going to eventually find things.
Well, Boeing was my last real big job.
Gig, yeah.
But when I was in college, I knew about the VC market. Remember, this is going back a long time ago.
Yeah, right, the 1880s or something.
About that, yeah. Something close to it. But Sequoia was the big company,
yes.
big investing group at the
sure.
time, VC. And I always said I would love to be a partner in Sequoia. Never happened. So as I got older and grew up in the world, I decided after I went through the corporate world, as you get to be a certain age, they say you're getting too old to be really relevant. So I said, okay, I'll invest in companies and maybe become part of the operational team. And
isn't that the problem?
That.
When do we all become? We're all men of a certain age here, a little gray hair. I'm in my late 60s. You might have a year or two on me, but we're about around the same area. When does it become this, you started hearing this. I heard it over and over again. You're too old to be in tech. You're too old to be in new stuff here. You're not relevant. You're not hip. You're not tuned into what's happening. That's when I decided to get into podcasting on my own. And suddenly I'm at the pioneer of this whole thing. You're pioneering stuff all the time. I think people of a certain age can see connections, maybe because you've had lots of experience, maybe because lots of different things you've done, but I can connect, I can see how this fits to that. I don't know that I could see that when I was younger. I just saw a singular path.
I know I couldn't see it when I was younger. I think I've matured, and I think maybe I was a late bloomer, but I think if you continue to learn, want to learn, keep your eyes open, talk to a lot of people, get involved with the younger generation, I don't think you become irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I think the perspective that an older person brings, let's call it more mature, and I'm not saying what the age limit is. There are young people that are 70 and there are old people right. that are 30.
Right.
But I think it's a continual quest for knowledge and yes. a continual ability to want to give back, integrate that knowledge into your base and expand.
And somehow your electrons can make those connections. I mean, that's the idea of creativity. How do you connect this and this? I never thought those two things would go together. How does somebody from the Irvine company see something that's a potential missed opportunity? Maybe because she was in the apartments or something. I don't know. But how does she see there's a missing opportunity here and I can see a solution? I think it takes some age. I think you have to build those connections in your brain. I don't think they come naturally.
I think it comes more natural for certain people.
Maybe.
But as you get older, you have more diverse background and experience.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of entrepreneurs that are older. You know, yeah. usually you think of an entrepreneur being, you know, in their 20s or 30s before they start a family. But we're seeing people doing entrepreneurial ventures right after they come out of the corporate world yeah. or sold their other company.
Right.
Again, it goes back to your earlier point. These are people you invest in because they've been successful. They have a drive. They have a passion.
Right.
And that's the number one criteria. I want to also mention one other thing. You mentioned that sometimes we look at the finances. I try not to look at the Excel spreadsheet because I know how to make an Excel spreadsheet lie. I'll be very blunt. However, what I cannot yeah. do and what I want to understand from entrepreneurs is the background. What are the precepts? What are the drivers? How are you building your revenue? All those things that you need to do to put into the formula.
Right.
I need to understand the logic they use and how it's put together, more so than the outcome. The outcome is an outcome.
And how adaptable are. That was one I've heard many times from you and other people. Maybe you got a great idea. Maybe this is the way it goes. But maybe when we get to the market, they're going to want to change it into this. You thought it was this, but it's really they're more interested in this aspect of it. Were you just going to fight and hold on to the original idea, or will you go where the market wants to go? Can you adapt or change or no? Get out of the way. We're only going to do it this.
Yep.
And I'll ride it right into the ground to before I change.
Well, that's a hallmark of what we look for in the CEO and the team. Will they have the ability to be what my old boss at US Cellular used to say, have to be fast, fluid, and flexible.
Yeah.
And fast, we don't want them to be too fluid and flexible, but we have to recognize things are not always the way it is, and things you can do pivot. I mean, you want to pivot.
Right.
So pivoting is really critical to managing a company for success.
Well, talk about pivoting. You not only have this great role and great success, you took all this corporate experience and engineering background, big companies, big jobs, you turned it into investing for yourself now here and guiding others to help do that. But you also give time and give back through the SBDC. That's what this show's all about, the Small Business Development Corporation. Talk about that. Why? I mean, you're talking to little mom-and-pop startups maybe, or maybe bigger companies. They do all sorts of stuff.
Well,
there,
remember, HP, Hewlett-Packard started in a garage, so did Apple.
We're in a garage, kind of.
We're in a garage, yeah. So, yes. So, I'm very fortunate, having gone through the corporate world and being, a relatively good investor, to have the wherewithal to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for me to give back, and it's important for Tech Coast Angels investors to give back. And mm-hmm. we do that all the time. So I became part of the SBDC. I'm actually in my second tour. I was there early on.
Yeah,
when they were up near the airport, and now they're over at Octane.
Yeah.
I'm part of Launchpad by Octane.
Right.
And I enjoy working with these small startups because it's a kernel of an idea that we can help expand upon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've coached people. I work in conjunction with others. We have a few programs. We have a program called Medical Monday.
Medical Monday. Okay, what's Medical Monday? This is through Octane, right?
This is through Launchpad at Octane, Medical Monday.
Which is an SBDC office.
Correct. Think, right. They're one of the funded ones by the SBA. So Medical Monday and Tech Tuesday, so we put those two together.
Why not?
We have a lot of these programs because we want to encourage people to submit ideas.
Right.
Medical Monday is a combination of SBDC people. We have a few angel groups, including Tech Coast Angels, including Life Science Angels. And we've included CHOC, Children's Hospital Orange County, as well as HOG.
Yeah.
And we listen to pitches and we try to determine if, in fact, these ideas have legs. Mm-hmm. Are they investable? And just as importantly, can we find support for them at CHOC or at HOG from clinicians who want to use these products and devices?
Ah, so you've got some, you can talk to the end user, the potential customers for these as well. Well, that's a clever idea.
Yeah, it wasn't my idea, but it was something that we
could take credit for it.
I won't take credit for it.
All right, so. So much to talk about. We could talk about the whole ecosystem of investing here. Give me a quick summary. Is this a good place to invest? I know there's lots of startups here, but there's always a common complaint that there isn't a good investment community here. It isn't a big enough investment community or a sophisticated enough investment community. They not invest in real estate and things like that and a few sub areas, but are they as rich and diverse as up in the Bay Area or Boston or someplace like that? How do you argue that point here?
Well, I won't argue it. I can just state the facts. Number one, we're probably not as large an investment entity or ecosystem as up in the Valley.
Right.
However, with UCI Beale Applied Innovation, where we are right now, as a hub, with Octane doing their work in the medical and technology areas, with Tech Coast Angels having such a solid reach, and with the schools around here focusing on entrepreneurship and innovation,
second to none,
and Cal with State, the accelerators and incubators that are around the Southern Cal area, we do have a very broad and diverse investment arena. I think we can be easily found. People are out in the markets looking for deals. We always are looking for that great deal. We do not, I just want to point out, while we're in California, we do not invest only in Californian companies.
That was my last question.
Yeah, about half of our companies come from California, but that number is declining. We look at companies that are in the United States and in Canada, and in Meta's case, they sometimes look at Israeli companies as well because of the med tech environment.
They're certainly known for that over there. All right, you have a podcast, I even hear. You're doing the same thing we're doing. Let's give a shout out to that.
I'm trying to be Paul Roberts, too. I hope to be as successful as you are on your podcast.
Thank you.
You can give me some ideas and advice. But Hastin Tukulescu, who's an entrepreneur and also an angel investor, and myself came up with this idea of doing a podcast. We started about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. It's called TCA Crossroads, available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple.
There you go.
And we talk to entrepreneurs. We talk about to people, entities within the ecosystem, trying to provide advice for both the entrepreneurs in getting funding as well as doing their pitching.
Well, and stories. I think we're all inspired by stories. If they can do it, I can do it. How did they do it? Who did it? What's going on? I think that's a big part of telling the story and getting the community connected together here. Because we are diverse. We're not as tightly concentrated as they are up in Silicon Valley or something here. They're not all in the same buildings or the same streets or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the advantage of TCA. Because TCA has, remember, we have 400 people, and we probably have people that have been involved in any specific market space or function in the corporate or startup world.
I think that's what's amazing about the SBDC in general, too. People like you, I mean, they can literally call the SBDC, and if they get assigned to somebody like you, if you're brought in on a case here, you're talking about somebody who was a former vice president of Boeing and U.S. Cellular and is now a high-level and runs a high-level investment community here. That's not somebody I can just normally find and talk to.
And they don't pay for it, by the way. This is all funded by the SBA.
Yeah, exactly. It's free.
It's free.
It's amazing. I can talk to you for free. Because normally my perception is when I first came here, the Tech Coast Angels, they must operate in some secret, you know, behind the scenes place. You got to know the secret handshake to get in the building here.
Not at all. We're much kinder, gentler. I think our reputation has changed over time. Yeah. But we want to help the entrepreneur be successful, because if they're successful, then our investments are successful.
I hear you. Well, I would love to have you come back and talk more about what kinds of things you look for in investment. I know you give classes and talks and things on this at various places here. And I'd love to share that to our audience. But just to know that you exist, this organization exists, and because of the extra work you do with the SBDC, you are findable. You are approachable. You are somebody that people can tap into with
absolutely,
your expertise.
100%.
And there's a bunch of you out there. There's a bunch of guys at the SBDC. We're going to talk every week to some of the people who are experts. It's amazing the expertise that's just contained in that organization and is available for free. For free, folks, just call one of your local SBD centers, like the one at Octane, where you guys are located over at the Great Park somewhere over there?
No, we're located up off of MacArthur.
Oh, off MacArthur. Okay, all right. And then sometimes you're even wandering the building here at the
UCI. I have an office here.
There you go. BL Applied Innovation Center. Go UCI's Applied Innovation Center. All right, thank you for stopping down and spending a few moments with it. It is a rare privilege to hear somebody at your level, at your background, at your expertise, who's not just going to talk about what he used to do, but you're at the cutting edge of what's happening right now. And that's what's so cool. So for anybody that really wants to know what the scene is like, what the opportunity is like, how to go find money today, here's your resource. Go find them out here. Any places they should start with, the SBDC or Tech Coast Angels, or any place you want to plug?
Yeah, they can start with the SBDC, and the SBDC consultants can plug them into either an accelerator, incubator, or TCA, or one of the other angel groups. Or you can put an application into techcoastangels.com. And if it doesn't work out for us because your application is not ready, your deck is not ready,
right,
we will get you back to the SBDC for additional support.
There you go. There you go.
So it works two ways.
All right. Love that. Thank you, David Friedman, for coming in here. What a cool conversation and amazing background, amazing opportunities right here in our own backyard. I don't think people are aware of. Thanks for coming by.
Pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.